Oh my God, Jen, this guy, he is to die for. Tall with dark hair, blue eyes, almost clear. I noticed him because his skin seemed to shimmer. Yeah, I know, but it did. Swear to God. It was at that club, the one in the village called Retinal Fetish, like 2 in the morning. Yeah, I know. My parents thought I was over at Becca's. My dad, he doesn't give a shit what I do anyways. You want to hear the story or not? Okay. So, I noticed him as soon as I walked into the club. No problems with a fake ID. He was sitting at the bar alone, and I thought he was just gorgeous. His pale skin glowing under the backlight is what did it. He looked like a vampire. Yeah, I know. Crazy, right? You sound like my mom. It took me like an hour, but I finally went up to him. Yeah, I was so nervous, but I couldn't take my eyes off of him. After what happened with Trevor, you know, I just felt like I needed to do something, you know? So, I went over. I tried really hard to be like super casual, and I bought a drink at the bar right next to him, and I could feel his eyes boring into me, but I sipped my wine and tried to play cool, but inside I was like, here I am, talk to me. Finally, he did. Jen, it was like one of those perfect romantic conversations that you only see in the movies. His name is Brandt. He is so smart. I could just listen to him forever. We couldn't take our eyes off each other, and I was staring at him thinking, I'm yours. That's why when he said, and it sort of scared me, okay, it kind of freaked me out, actually. He was like, you're so beautiful, I want to drink your blood. Kinky, right? I brushed away all the fear, but you know, it's just like, it was fear of him, fear of closeness, fear of how things were happening so fast. And I swallowed all of that down and I said, sure. I'm seeing him tonight.
Believe it or not, sometimes my life sucks beyond the telling of it. And I don't understand why me trying to kill myself makes you want me to buy new clothes and clean my apartment. Buying new clothes doesn't fix clinical depression. You're sitting there telling me to tie a ribbon on a gunshot wound. I didn't come here and say, fix me. I work every goddamn day. I got myself to class when I wanted to kill myself. I've held down jobs, gone to work when I would have rather drank bleach. I made friends. I supported them in time of crisis. I've even dated. All while being in a living hell. I work. You don't know me. You don't know what my life is. And you can't blame me for feeling desperate, for wanting a way out. I'm not all the other people you've treated, okay? Stop. stop treating me like an age group. I am a human being. Normally, I just make another appointment, cancel it, and ignore your calls, but I've confronted you. And you know what? That's huge for me. I've aired my grievances. You've refused to acknowledge me, and now I'm done. One of us is being insane. And for once, it's not me.
Well, nothing's perfect, Benjamin. I wish my mother didn't drink so much. I wish I'd never fallen out of that tree and broken my thumb, because it so affects my fingering, I'll probably never play the violin as well as I'd love to, but that's about it for the bullshit, Benjamin. It's only bullshit if you let it pile up. Heaven's in the details. Someone said that. I think Robert Frost said that. I was in this diner with my roommate Diane, and this guy came along with a goat on a rope, and it turns out the reason he's got that little goat on a rope was because he was thrown out the day before for bringing in his dog. But the point is that Diane had stood up to leave when she saw the man walk in, and she sat straight down again, and she said, "Well, if there's a goat, I'll think I'll have dessert." And that's why I love Diane. Because if you think like that, you not only notice more little goats, you get more dessert.
Ugh, why did I even sign up for this class? I didn't know we'd have to practice auditioning. It's not fair. Everybody will be looking at me, judging me. If I do one thing wrong, everybody's going to notice and laugh at me, and I'm going to be so embarrassed. The lights will be beaming in my eyes, and my hands will start shaking like crazy. My throat will get really dry, and I'll stutter like there's no tomorrow. I'll fidget and play with my hair. I'm so nervous. What if I suck? What if I'm horrible? What if people start throwing things? Or worse, tell everybody about my performance and how much I sucked. I will be embarrassed everywhere I go. I'll have no escape. People are always going to remember me as the person who couldn't perform, the person who can't even talk in front of a crowd. I don't want to do this. I hate performing. If I was confident, I could just stand on that stage and nail it, but I'm not. I'm terrified. In fact, I'm petrified. I would use any excuse in the book not to have to perform. I know you guys are all thinking, just pretend to be sick. Well, unfortunately, I've tried that already and they didn't buy it. Use a doctor note. Well, I tried that one too. And it turns out I'm not very good at forging signatures. They didn't even buy the dead pet excuse. You know what? Actually, maybe I can do this. I've practiced for hours. I know all my words. All I have to do is to go up and perform that in the way I know I can. The way I've rehearsed it dozen of times in the mirror. And if I do that, I'll be fine. In fact, I'll be better than fine. I'll be amazing. I just have to stay calm and relaxed. And the point is just to have fun, right? I don't have to be the best. I just need to do the best I can. All right. I can do this. I'm really... I can't do this.
While we have a minute, I thought I'd show you some paintings. This is the three-part series of oils I painted called Aliens. People immediately think the paintings are about extraterrestrials, which is fine. I enjoy different interpretations, but to tell you the truth, I really don't believe in extraterrestrials nor UFOs. Maybe I do. I guess I haven't really thought about it. Anyway, these paintings are, I hope, a bit deeper than just UFOs and ETs. What the paintings really represent, or I guess the theme of the paintings center around the title, which is Alien, the movie. The movie Alien. Well, the movies. I guess the alien trilogy might be a better term, yes. The movies with Sigourney Weaver. You've seen them, that's good. More women should see them. All women should see the alien trilogy. What do some sci-fi movies have to do with women, you ask? Well, these simple science fiction movies could very well be the trustworthy reflection of the struggle of the American woman in our society over the last 30 years. Cross my heart. Each movie do not only depicts the struggle of Ripley, the heroine, against the aliens, but of Ripley, the woman, against man, technology, and her role in society. Oh. I know, don't get me started. These movies are the perfect measure of how far the American woman has come. And in my paintings, I have chosen to represent this. And here they are. Since the three movies span 3 decades, I have painted 3 paintings to represent the sociological and political concepts that abound in each. In my first painting, which I call Alien 1, you can see the decade of the 70s fully represented. The characters are rather passive and bewildered, falsely led into believing government, technology, and machines, also stumped as to what happened in the precious 60s. Meanwhile, the alien seen here, dressed like Annie Hall with an Asian face and a gas can, which is a symbol of world economic problems, the gas crisis, Vietnam backwash, and the changing role of the domestic woman, bears down heavily on the characters as well as our heroine, Ripley, who is shown with long, dark, bouncy, and luxurious hair. Feminine hair. Hair worn for the pleasure of a man. She must defeat the alien in the white polyester leisure suit after the so-called superior men have failed. Okay. Are you with me? In the second painting, which I call Alien 2, is now the 80s. We see the male characters who have become trapped and helpless in the grips of their own technology employ our heroine Ripley to fight the alien once again. Only this time, there are more aliens than before. Here is a Walter Mondale-headed alien and a Gorbachev birthmark-headed alien, which is... Both of them are symbols of communism and liberal thinking that Ripley destroys, thinking they are real problem. But are they real problems? Ripley's hair is now short. She carries a gun. She fights side by side with the Marines, and she still looks sexy. It looks like woman is now on the same level as men. It looks... Well, it just looks like it. The problem still exists, though, as one can see by the half-alien, half-cockroach with George Bush's head. You all see these. Okay, The last painting, Alien 3, is now the 90s and hope is gone. The alien is still the same old economic, foreign, and social problems, but bigger, faster, and with great big nasty teeth. The alien even pushes the boundaries of religion as represented by an alien crucified with a crown of thorns. Get it? And Ripley's hair is now completely gone. Shaved. She has been stripped of her most cherished female characteristic. Ripley is now a living metaphor for a woman who no longer is trapped by her own body. She is not a woman, nor a man, nor an alien. She has transcended it all. She is herself, as represented by Ripley bursting from the stomach of an alien with Bill Clinton's head.
I know. They're not that good.
I guess I was made to study art, not make it. I like them, though. They're how I felt. I feel like Ripley sometimes, but not enough. I'm not one of those woman haters. I'm not. I still like men. But you know what's funny? Women never like my paintings.